Hey, hey, spooky kids. Welcome to another episode of Where the Monsters Are. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Lou.
And today I'm going to be telling you all about an old asylum here in England that is said to be haunted. But before we get into it, can I ask, if you don't already, could you please subscribe to the channel on the platform you listen on and share it with anyone else you think may like it? And any ideas you might have for future episodes you'd like to hear, feel free to drop us a message. Now, Newsham Park Hospital is a Grade 2 listed building with 3 acres of land that overlooks 2 lakes in Liverpool, England. It was originally built as an orphanage for seamen's children, but was later changed into a hospital for people suffering from mental health issues. But after it closed in 1997, it gained a reputation for being one of the most haunted buildings in Liverpool, becoming an interesting spot for the local paranormal investigators and popular for organised ghost tours.
Okay.
Back in 2015, it was put on the market for offers of around £1.5 million.
Ooh.
But this wasn't the first time it was put on the market, as back in 2007, there were plans to turn it into apartments. But this was met with opposition from the local regeneration campaigners, who didn't want such an amazing piece of Liverpool's history ruined and turned into a housing complex.
Okay.
The building was originally designed by famous Victorian architect Alfred Waterhouse at around 1870. It was designed as an orphanage and opened by the Duke of Edinburgh in 1874,
mm-hmm.
and visited a few years later in 1886 by Queen Victoria.
Oh, okay.
The building went on to become a school, a hospital, and more recently a venue for ghost-themed evenings and weddings. So before we get into how it became a haunted attraction, let's go way back in time and learn some more about the history of this magnificent building. Now, in 1869, there were no institutions in Liverpool to support or educate the orphan children and widows of British seamen from the Merseyside area that had lost their lives at sea.
Okay.
But this would change when in 1868, a group of Liverpool ship owners and merchants who had been trying to think of ways to help decided to get together to establish one. A meeting was held on the 16th of December in 1868 in the Mercantile Marine Association's rooms and was open to members of the public to attend to discuss the costs of bringing this idea to life. A proposal was put forward by 2 leading ship owners and philanthropists, Ralph Brocklebank and Bryce Allen, and another named James Beasley, who was proposed as chairman of the committee, and he promised to put in £500 if 9 other people would join him and do the same.
Okay.
Pretty much immediately he had the 9 other backers, along with further donations from the public. And in 1869, a bank account was opened at the Haywards Bank in Brunswick Street. And as funds kept rising due to more public donations, they soon had enough money in the account to look for a temporary home. So on the 9th of August, 1869, the first, but temporary, Seamen's Orphans Institute opened at 128 Duke Street in Liverpool. This was just rented accommodation, but by the end of the same year, there were 46 boys and 14 girls living there.
Okay.
And it was obvious they would need a much larger and more permanent solution. So on the 7th of April 1870, Liverpool Town Council approved a proposal to grant a site in Newsham Park to the Seamen's Orphans Institute. It covered an area of 7,000 square yards of land, which is just over half of a hectare. And it sat on the northeast side of Newsham Park. Now, as I mentioned before, architect Alfred Waterhouse, who also designed Manchester's Town Hall and the Natural History Museum in London, was asked to design the building. And the first brick of the foundations was laid on the 11th of September 1871 by Ralph Brocklebank, who was the first president.
Okay.
With a chapel being added in August in 1873, in front of a large crowd of spectators that included the mayor and some of the orphans who had been living at the temporary home in Duke Street. James Beazley, the chairman, said at the time it had been 4 years since the original pier was first made, and with the help of public donations, the building, which had cost £25,000 to build, would be opened entirely debt-free. They hoped to have it open before the winter was over and it would be home to 200 children. It did seem that once the chapel had been erected, the real reason for the building in the first place seemed to be almost a second thought, as Reverend Canon Stewart was delighted that not only were the children being housed, but their religious education would also be accommodated. And he pushed for a further church to be built on the land. This adjoining building could have housed a further 200 children.
Oh, okay.
On the 30th of January in 1874, an informal opening of the north wing of the orphanage was held, and the children from Duke Street moved in. The committee also looked after children that did not live there by feeding them, clothing them, etc.
Okay.
But they live like in their own homes.
Okay, so sort of a support.
Yes,
thing.
Yeah. Then on the 30th of September 1874, the orphanage was officially opened by the Duke of Edinburgh. It was reported in the newspaper, the Liverpool Mercury. By June 1884, there were around 800 fatherless children receiving support from the orphanage, with around half of them actually living there, and the rest receiving support along with their mothers at home. The average cost to support one child for a year in the orphanage was £15, which would be the equivalent to nearly £2,000 a year now.
For a year? Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
And £8 per child per year was the equivalent to around £1,000 today for those being supported at home.
Okay.
And the Institute was financially supported solely by voluntary donations.
Okay.
Queen Victoria also visited in May of 1886 and became a patron of the orphanage.
Okay.
The priority of the Institute from the start was to make sure the children had a good education. And from 1892, a boys' school was added, and from 1898, a girls' school was also introduced and run under strict government guidelines. And the institution also received some of a parliamentary grant from the Department of Education.
Oh, so it wasn't just like a home, it was an
education. They schooled them and everything, yeah.
Oh, okay, that's good.
I think they just like kind of wanted to give them a good start in life. By the year of 1899, 321 children were living at the orphanage and another 508 were getting support from monetary grants and clothing. There were also no discriminations according to what religion the children were, although religious education was under the supervision of the Church of England chaplain. In fact, the only preference given was to orphans from British seamen that were connected with the port of Liverpool. And then, in 1900, they opened swimming baths at the orphanage. Things seemed to be going well, and in 1918, there were around 1,000 orphans being supported by the institution. The royal family were still continuing to show support by visiting from time to time, and after a visit by Queen Mary and the Princess Royal in 1921, George V gave the institute the title Royal and granted it a Royal Charter of Incorporation. And although there were few problems when the First World War began, Newsham Park continued and seemed to be making progress. During the Second World War, the children had to be evacuated to Hill Bark in Frank B. Wirral. It was the country home of Mr. E. B. Royden, who was a committee member, and the children stayed there and seemed to flourish as the war continued. Then in 1946, the preparations began to return the children to Newsham Park. But after the war, the country's social service schemes were expanding, and so a lot of the children's surviving parents were more reluctant to place them in the orphanage, as I'm guessing they were getting more allowances themselves for support,
yeah.
Which would make it more financially beneficial for them to keep them at home.
Yeah, I get you.
Because of this, there became a gradual decline in the number of children that were actually living at the orphanage. Add to that the new laws that came in, which prohibited children under 11 years of age being educated at the same schools as older children, and that young children were not to live in an institutional school.
Okay.
Because of this, even though Newsham Park had an endowment, the institute began to suffer from financial difficulties.
Okay.
And the more they increased, the harder it became to bridge the gap that was growing between income and outgoings. And as a result of this, on the 27th of July 1949, Newsham Park Orphanage closed down.
That's a shame, because it seemed to be doing a really good job.
The founders continued to try to implement ways to provide means for the education and care of the children of the deceased British Merchant Navy seamen. For the children that were living at Newsham Park, they found places in various schools, and a lot of them were transferred to the Royal Merchant Navy School at Bearwood. The fees for them were still paid by Newsham Park.
Okay.
In 1951, Newsham Park was sold for £125,000 to the Ministry of Health to be used as a hospital, and the proceeds from the sale were sent to charities, commissioners for investment, and they continued to provide support for the orphan children of seamen on a non-residential basis, focusing on making sure they continued their education. In fact, the work the institution provided for the support and education of orphan children of seamen still continues today. And in 1969, the institution had celebrated its centenary.
Oh, okay.
In 1954, the doors were reopened at Newsham Park Hospital. The hospital had its own psychiatric department, and they had a large number of patients with severe mental problems. In 1988, the hospital announced officially that they would not be taking any new patients. And by 1992, all of the staff and remaining patients had been relocated. Coincidentally, the exact same year, 1992, the Rainhill Lunatic Asylum, can't believe they were using the word lunatic as recently as 1992, but there you go.
Yeah. Actually called it a lunatic asylum.
That's what they were calling it then, yeah. Well, that closed down and they moved the inmates over to Newsham Park Hospital, where they took up around 90% of the space in the building. It cost £1.6 million to refurbish the place, so they could house the new patients there. But after only a few years of being open, Newsham Park Hospital closed down. And then in 1997, the property was brought through auction by a property developer and stood empty until 2004. The owners, who were Gateway Properties, brought out their plan to develop the buildings into, as I said before, apartments to supply more housing to the area. But this was opposed and the plans defeated by the local regeneration campaigners. So just 3 years later, in 2007, the site was put up for sale again. The site was then purchased by property developers Angle Farm Limited and their associates Land Ecology Limited. They submitted a planning application to convert and refurbish part of the building to make it into an events venue, including in it plans for the kitchen facilities, a dining restaurant and bar, function rooms for seminars and external seating.
Okay.
So how did it get the reputation of being haunted? Well, although listening to the story so far, you may be thinking it sounds like a nice place for the children to have lived. That wasn't necessarily the case. There were over 1,000 children living there at times. And to keep order of the children, they were at times treated very harshly. They were kept in order by matrons that oversaw the running of the orphanage, and former residents that have been noted as saying they were very strict and that the punishment the children received could be quite severe.
Oh, no.
Siblings were segregated, and in the attic there was a row of cupboards that is said to have housed badly behaved boys that were locked up inside for long periods of time.
Oh, no.
Add to this the tortured souls of some of the asylum's inmates. This is a building filled with misery, torture and death. So there's no wonder it is a place that harbours the spirits of those that cannot rest.
So there's me saying, oh, it looks shame they closed it. It looks like they're doing a good job.
I mean, the founders, they were, you know, they had good intentions, but I mean, people that work there, you know, it's the way they treated them, some of the staff and stuff. The building is a big sprawling Gothic style building and it has a sinister look to it, and now lying empty and when not being used for haunting evenings events, It just sits there, decaying. The rooms are strewn with broken beds and rusty wheelchairs and trolleys, still in the same places they were left years ago when the place was abandoned. The winding staircases have anti-suicide grills and lead to many treatment and laundry rooms. The names of some of the staff that passed away many years ago are still attached to the front of their old lockers.
Why?
The morgue houses rows of fridges once used to store the bodies. They're now empty except for the body drawers with the doors hanging wide open. The first sighting of a ghost at Newsham reports back to when the building was still being used as a hospital, and one of the female nurses kept complaining about seeing ghosts around the building. And another strange fact is that she, herself, was eventually found dead at the top of the staircase in the main corridor.
Oh my God.
No one knows what happened.
And so they didn't know how she died?
No. I could find no, like, anything. But they just found a body and...
Oh no.
Yeah. Patients would also constantly mention they saw children running around the building. And the psychiatric patients would talk to people that no one else could see. This was put down to the illnesses they were suffering from. But who knows? Maybe they may have been seeing ghosts of past residents. Mm. The row of cupboards I mentioned before on the top floor, which was referred to as the naughty cupboards, where the orphans that did not behave were put for hours at a time for punishment, are also supposed to be haunted by a little boy who was said to have died whilst being locked up inside one of them. He's said to be known to open and close the cupboard doors.
Mm.
Visitors, including workmen and security staff, have reported tools going missing and then suddenly showing up again in completely different parts of the building to where they claim they last had them.
Wow.
Voices have been heard when there's no one there. Dark, shadowy figures have been seen moving around the rooms. The ghost of a small child and ghostly figures are seen wandering round Ward G. People, when in the basement, experience an uneasy feeling, and dragging noises have been heard in the dining room. Mm. A young girl dressed in a long white nightgown has been seen stood on the steps that led to the basement, but she vanishes when approached. A locker down in the basement has been reported as having the voice of a man coming from it, but if you open it, it's empty. And a rusty nail flew through the air, hitting one of the lockers, maybe trying to warn the visitors to get out.
Oh, God.
I think I've read somewhere as well, like stones have been thrown and stuff as well.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. Because of this, Newsham Park Hospital has become a ghost hunter's dream. So much so that there was a waiting list at one time for over 18 months long for companies wanting to book ghost tours for their staff, etc.
Wow. Talk about team building.
but you'd want to go to it, something like that, I suppose.
Oh, would that be really interesting?
Better than, like, orienteering.
Oh, God.
Or paintballing.
Oh, God, yeah.
The building is now known as one of the northwest of England's spookiest tourist attractions. It hosts private and public nighttime ghost hunts for those wanting to spend the night in what looks and is a frightening-looking building.
Yeah.
With apparently current paranormal activities that are actually going on there.
Oh, I definitely want to go for that.
There are plenty of areas to investigate, including the Psyche Cinema, hidden corridors, including what has become the famous Naughty Boys Corridor.
Okay.
So, what do you make of it, Lou?
It doesn't surprise me, thinking about it. I mean, I've read enough, like, gothic novels, and I've seen enough sort of documentaries and things. So that doesn't surprise me that happened back then, because they were sort of...
I mean, the Victorian days.
Yeah. I mean,
like the workhouses and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? Spare the rod, spoil the child. It's kind of how they lived, wasn't it? So
So
that doesn't surprise me. It's a shame, considering
what it was started for.
Yeah, what their intentions were. That is a shame that's what happened. I mean, it's kind of rife for tales of ghosts and things, isn't it? So, you know, from the bad history that it's got. It's a bit sad if that is true. You know, I mean, the row of, what did you say?
The cupboards. Naughty cupboards, yeah.
I mean... Wouldn't surprise me if that's what's happened, if they've shoved kids in there because they've been naughty.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, certainly another one to add to the list to visit, I guess.
I'd never heard of Newsham. I'd never heard of that place before.
Well, whether it's all a show by the promoters of the events, or maybe it could be the ghosts of the 16,000 orphans who died and were cremated on site, where their ashes were thrown into a pit in the mortuary.
How many?
16,000 altogether. Or wow. Maybe it's the ghosts of the psychiatric patients whose souls are trapped in the place they died in that wander the building lonely and confused. Either way, the building holds a lot of history, suffering, and in some ways hope. Back when it first opened, the original patrons may have just been wanting to do something good for the children of the Navy seamen that had passed away in service to their country. If the building could talk, it would have some amazing stories to tell, I'm sure. But they're stories we will never know. Until next time, spooky kids, sweet dreams, and stay safe. Bye.
Bye.